Hello, Reinhardt Church. Thanks for joining us this morning on this video message. Elijah and Mallory are the production crew, and we are trying our best to bring to you a message of encouragement today. I do have something that I want to show you. I'm already feeling like a television evangelist. I have this handkerchief. And if you will send me $25 for this handkerchief, I'll embroider your name on it. And for $10 more, Elijah and I will put our names on it, and we will send it back to you. And we will guarantee it that you will not get the coronavirus. Oh, boy. Just a little bit of humor there. I hope you know I'm teasing with you on that. And I already miss being with you in worship today. Satan would like to destroy the church through this coronavirus. He hates the Church of Jesus, and he would like to seize this opportunity to bring destruction to the Lord's church. And we can't let that happen. By the power of Jesus in us, this could be the church's greatest moment, as we have such an opportunity before us. As my son-in-law Luke said to his church in Indiana, church has not stopped, the church has simply left the building. It's like if I had a salt shaker. That salt really doesn't do much as it's in the salt shaker. Its purpose is served more as it gets out of the salt shaker. If I take that salt and sprinkle it on my eggs for breakfast in the morning, if I take that salt and put it on a baked potato, those things taste so much better with the salt on it. And so we too are the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus said. And as we have this opportunity to get out of the salt shaker, so to speak, that's what he's called us to do. May we be that salt to the world around us. We can love with his love. We can be his hands and feet to those who are lost and hurting. We can be a balm of comfort to those people who are living in fear and worry. Let's share the message of Jesus with the world. Let's give them hope. Let's share the message of peace to people who desperately need to hear it. Right now, the world is pretty topsy-turvy. In our country, about everything that we thought was stable has pretty quickly become unstable. Hear me say this: there is only one thing that is rock solid, and that is Jesus. My plan has been to start directing our attention towards Easter, which is only four Sundays away, including today. I'm going to follow through with that plan, even though I'm not with you in person. The theme that I want to have you go away with today is simply this: God is in control. And that's a pretty timely theme in the day and age in which we are living. It never ceases to amaze me that when I have a plan of what I'm going to speak to you on a Sunday, and that plan can be pretty far out time-wise, when we get to that particular Sunday, it's always a timely message. It's exactly what we need to hear. And I praise the Lord for that. His word is applicable, and it's alive, and it's a sword, the Hebrew author said. It goes to the very depth of our being. It's the message that we need to hear. Sometimes it cuts us to the heart, and we need to hear it. If you've been doing the Desperate You lessons, and I hope that you have, a couple of weeks ago, lesson 10, you looked up some verses that help you understand that God's plan of redemption has been in place before time began. Jesus' coming and his dying on the cross was God's plan before the creation. This was not plan B because plan A had failed. No, this was God's plan before he even created Adam and Eve. It was his plan before sin even came into existence. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1, speaking of Jesus, says, he was chosen before the creation of the world. If you look at the context of that passage, it's talking about the blood of Jesus. In fact, Jesus' blood being shed was a part of God's plan before creation. There were six different passages of Scripture in that lesson that teach us this foundational truth. God knew what Adam and Eve would do, and he had already made provision for their sin, and that provision was his son Jesus. Could I for a moment take you back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve have just sinned by eating the forbidden fruit? The serpent is still there. He has not slithered away. God shows up on the scene to confront him. And the text that I want to read to you is Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He says to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. That, my brothers and sisters, is the very first prophecy about Jesus made by God himself. He promised that the serpent would be crushed by the seed of the woman, that the seed of the woman would come and he would give Satan a fatal blow, a crushing blow to the head. He, the devil, would in turn give Jesus a bruise to his heel. Have you ever had a bruise on your heel? It hurts, doesn't it? The crucifixion and all of that suffering that Jesus would go through would be a hard thing for him. It would bruise his heel. It would cause pain and suffering. But the resurrection that would follow would be a fatal blow to the devil. It would be a crushing blow to his head. It would be a blow that would seal his doom forever. And praise the Lord, it would seal our victory. Think about this. That prophecy was given 4,000 years prior to its fulfillment. And yet it happened just as God said it would. I want to drive this point home to you over and over again in this message. God is in control. Would you say that with me, please? God is in control. Now, you may be sitting there in your home by yourself. Maybe it's your husband or your wife that is with you. Maybe your kids are with you. Whoever I'm speaking to this morning, whatever the size of group, I would like for you to say those words with me. God is in control. Genesis chapter 12, the Messiah was to come through the bloodline of Abraham, and the whole world would be blessed through Abraham's seed. Guess what? Jesus, his bloodline can be traced back through Abraham, his mother's bloodline, Mary. Her bloodline can be traced back through Abraham. And by the way, Joseph's bloodline can be traced back through Abraham too, although Joseph, of course, was not the birth father of Jesus. Would you say this with me again? God is in control. Genesis chapter 49, the Messiah was to come through the tribe of Judah. Read it for yourself. Matthew chapter 1, Jesus indeed came through the tribe of Judah. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, calls him the Lion of Judah. The messianic prophecy that had been made by Jacob 1,900 years earlier was fulfilled in Jesus. Would you say it with me again? God is in control. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Let me read that to you. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Wow. What a prophecy. What a miracle. Matthew and Luke record the fulfillment of that prophecy. Again, God is in control. There are so many messianic prophecies that I could mention to you. He was to be born in Bethlehem. He was to preach the good news to the poor. He was to set the captive free. He was to give sight to the blind. He would be betrayed by a trusted friend for the price of 30 pieces of silver. He would be spit upon and mocked and beaten and pierced. He would be laid in a rich man's tomb, according to the prophecy, but his body would not undergo decay. Over 300 prophecies that would be fulfilled in Jesus, the Messiah. Would you say it with me one more time? God is in control. Let me add one word to that theme that we've been saying together. God is still in control. That fact hasn't changed, even in this day and age when things are so crazy. I don't think any of us watching this video today have seen anything like this. But we hang on to this truth, and we are comforted by this truth that God is still in control. It's all in his hands. You and I are in his hands. Our present, our future is in his hands. This coronavirus is in his hands. This world is in his hands. This virus is not bigger than God. Remember, God has taken on the grave and he has overcome the grave. God has taken on Satan himself, and God has won that battle. He's on the throne. Nobody's going to take him from there. Nobody's able to take him from there. God is still in control, and we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be sick with worry or panic. What we do need to do is pray and seek him and trust him. He's never let us down one time. He's not about to start to let us down now. He's got this. He's got you. He's got me. We just need to acknowledge him, that we are desperate for him. We've been talking about that theme now for how many weeks? Maybe this present situation will help drive that point home all the more, that we really should be desperate for God. We need him. We cannot do this life without him. Let me close today with some scriptures to encourage you. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I think I've told you before, that's my favorite passage of Scripture in all of the Bible. I don't know how many times in my life I've leaned on the truth of that Scripture. If we will trust him and acknowledge him in our life, then he will make our paths straight. He will help us. He will be there for us and take care of us. Another scripture, Matthew 11:28, Jesus is speaking there. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That's what Jesus wants to do for us. If we will simply turn to him with our burdens, with our worries, he will give us rest. He will give to us peace of mind. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Are you anxious about the times in which we are living? Then turn to him. His arms are open to you. He cares about you. He longs to hear from us. Don't just sit there in front of the TV and watch all of that gloom and doom of the news. It's tempting to do that. But I want to encourage you to shut the TV off and dive deep into this book, more so than ever before. And God's peace will be the byproduct. Now, I'm not saying that we stick our heads in the sand to what's going on. No, we need to know what's going on. And I'm watching the news too with you. But if that's all that we're filling our minds with is the doom and gloom of this world, then we will probably become a person of doom and gloom. We will overcome if we turn to Jesus. And I want to encourage you to do that. Instead of saturating your mind with all of the worldly stuff, let's saturate our minds with God's Word and allow His peace to wash over us. I've got one final passage for you. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." If you're having God's peace in you, then you're going to be a very bright light in the midst of a dark world. And so, I encourage you to go and be the light. I encourage you to be the church that God has called us to be. If you're one who has never given your life to Jesus, please contact me. I would love to sit down and talk with you and help you in your relationship with Jesus. He loves you so much that he gave his life for you. Let me pray with you. Dear Father, I thank you for the opportunity to speak to the brothers and sisters at Reinhardt, and who knows who else might be tuning in. Lord God, would you give us peace? Would you give us your comfort? Father, may we be that light to the world and salt that we need to be. In Jesus' name, amen.